Welcome to another episode of Millennial Money Management. Today, I have a special guest with me, and we are going to be talking about tithing while you're in debt. There's a lot of things going about and around, you know, with Dave Ramsey and pretty much every other financial piece aspect of the budgeting world, just talking about how they set aside a certain amount of their income each week or biweekly or each month. Just going towards their tithing or just donations, just things like that in general. So I brought along my special guest today because she has some great inputs on the Christian side of tithing. So I'm going to let her go ahead and take into a couple of those parts.
All right. So Christian tithing. Christians, I have been a Christian for most of my adult life and most of my child life as well. But especially within the last few years recently, just getting more into my actual relationship with Christ. And my own personal opinion, I see tithing as an expression of stewardship. It's a way that we can sacrifice for the sake of others. When we tithe, we place God as a priority, and we trust in His abundance rather than allowing our lives to be ruled by worry or preoccupation about having enough. Specifically, 2 Corinthians 9:6-8 states that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, this is not to say that you should just give everything that you have away and right. leave yourself completely up a creek without a paddle. But rather you should decide in your heart what to give and not feel as if you are, being forced or coerced into giving.
See, so what I always got, well, not always, but a lot of the times where I'm seeing like the different people doing their, budgets and things like that nature, it's not necessarily because they want to give. It's just because it's something that they have to do is what they're making it seem like. I obviously won't say any of their names because that's awkward, but I feel like I see it more often than not. So if you are thousands of dollars in debt, where like with student loans, or if you have a car and you're trying to get onto this, you know, journey of not being in debt or anything, or like owing your life pretty much away to, well, you know, Sally Mae or whomever it might be, what do you think are different ways to kind of either talk yourself into wanting to tithe, or do you feel opposed to not going forward with it if, you know, you're trying to save that money? But yeah.
I definitely think that if you are in a position where you're not able to allow for tithing in the traditional sense, I think there are other ways to give back. For example, time. I mean, time is one of those things that everybody, I don't care who you are, you have time.
Yes.
No matter how busy you are, and I can say this because for the last 4 years of my life, I was a full-time student and I worked full-time and I still found time to volunteer.
She literally did everything. Everything.
So if you can't give money away, if you're just not built that way, set up that way with your finances right now, that's fine. Volunteer at a food bank, or, you know, volunteer at your church, your mosque, whatever religious assembly you go to, ask how you can get involved. There's always ways, even if those ways are not the traditional money way.
Yeah. I definitely like the different inputs that whenever you have someone from a different religious background, or, you know, even if they're not religious at all, just like their idea on what you should be giving or how much you should be giving, because that's also a thing. I like to read the comments on people's posts as well, just because I find that the comments are always hilarious. But you'll always get that one or two people that are in there just saying like, oh, you're not giving enough, or oh, why don't you take money out of your nail fund and put that towards tithing, like you could be giving more instead of spending money on yourself. And I feel like that's kind of selfish in a way, because just because someone wants to spend money on themselves, I don't feel like we should be made to feel bad about that. Why should I feel like my life is a shamble? But you know, I'm giving money to the needy, so it should be okay. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I definitely think it's a balance, because if you're so distraught and like torn down and you're not taking care of yourself, but you're taking care of everybody else, you're not going to feel like rejuvenated. You're not going to want to like get up and go to your job, which is how you make money every day. So it's like, if you're over here all like, oh my gosh, I have not taken care of myself, I haven't gotten, you know, haircut in 6 months, and you know, I have no groceries in my fridge, but yet everyone else is taken care of, then you're not going to be putting money back into your own pocket to even be able to give.
Side note, I totally know this woman who has not gotten a haircut in a really long time, and her hair is like to her, like the back of her knees. It's really wild. Yeah. But like, it looks really good. Like, I'm like, how, like, do you trim the ends? Like, what do you do? She's just like, the sun.
Some castor oil or something.
The sun. She's also been near the Dead Sea for like the past year and a half, so I think that's why. I don't know what's in that water, but it must be really good. So anyways, so now that we have like, you know, the whole Christian side of it, I thought I would throw in the Islamic side as well, just because, hi, yes, I'm Muslim, but
and we are friends and love each other very much. It is possible,
it's
people.
It's great. It's fantabulous. I also don't wear hijab. That's funny too. And don't worry, my mom isn't trying to kill me. Anyways, I'll probably edit that part out. But so it's not called tithing, obviously, in Islam, because, well, tithing is an English word and Islam is based with Arabic. So we do zakat, but you give your 2.5%, and you do it only like once a year. Some people set it aside like monthly, some people set it aside, you know, weekly, however you want to do it. But typically you just give it once a year, and it's 2.5% of all of your assets. So like your income, like what you own, blah, 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 like your money essentially. And you do it, based off the 8th month of the year. So, like, once you get to the 8th month of the year, as long as you have the amount of money that you need to have, because we do have a minimum balance that you're allowed to have in your bank account before you start giving away money frivolously, and that's, it's about $4,000. It changes yearly because it goes based on the price of gold, and, like, with, like, inflation and things like that, obviously that stuff's going to change as time goes on. But you have to have about $4,000 in your bank account, essentially, before you're allowed to just, you know, go ahead and start donating and giving your money. Because, again, it's like one of those things where if you don't have enough, like, obviously you can give with something else. You can give with your time. You can donate. You can become a foster parent, which is what my mom does. So she took in, like, you know, she takes in kids, and she's done it for money and not for money. So there's different ways, and that's also another form of income that you can get too if you are below, you know, your nisab. So for example, like if you guys are more like visual or need your math terms, so let's say you had $5,000 by the 8th month of the year. That's how much money you have. So lower amount, obviously more realistic to people that are in debt and probably, you know, just getting out of college and whatnot, because hashtag broke. But so just to like say that once a year you would just give $125. Like, that's that. And it's okay. Like, no one looks down at you for that. No one's like, oh my goodness, like, you should have given more. That's pretty much, like, it's what you give is essentially between you and God. And, I mean, he knows. Like, he said, this is how much you have to give. If you can give it, go right ahead. Like, this is what I got for you. So, I mean, even if you think of it that way, like, even if you decide to, oh, I'm gonna put away, like, $2 a week for your 52 weeks a year or whatever to get your $125, if that's what you're gonna have, it's kind of cool. But I don't know, I kind of like the yearly aspect rather than the like giving it monthly or weekly, I guess you could say, in the sense of if you were donating towards your, you know, religious being or place of worship. Just because I feel like I was telling her earlier today that we used to have, like, when we were a Christian, we had a pastor that essentially the church was falling apart, and the the pastor would like roll up to church in like the nicest cars. He'd have the brand new suits on. Like, my man never repeated an outfit despite, you know, how much money we thought he had. I mean, I'm pretty sure pastors like don't get paid a salary, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So like, how's my man wearing new clothes every week? And that's just because, you know, some people are greedy. Some people get very greedy with it, and they decide to take what people are giving out of the kindness of their hearts, and they take it for granted, and they just give it to themselves. Which I feel like if you didn't give it as often, it would be less of that to happen, I guess you could say. Just because there's more accountability for, like, okay, we got this much money this year, as a huge lump sum, as opposed to, I got this much last week. You know, like, you're not taking that for yourself. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's a good point. I think that the church or religious body and its people should be the main priority, rather than, you know, putting that money into the pastor or the leader's pocket, because that completely just feeds into the greedy mentality that we want to eliminate.
Right. Because, like, when you think about it, like, the pastor or whomever is, you know, the shaman, whatever, is leading the religious group, they will always have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they become homeless, that won't even happen to them, because they are this religious figure. And it's like, okay, look, stop taking the money for yourself and actually give it to people who might be afraid to speak up when they're at church or something. You know, like, you have this pool of something to help out your neighbors, as opposed to, you know, getting a helicopter.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be so wrapped up in materialistic possessions. I mean, it's one thing to live comfortably and to have nice things, but living within your means. I mean, there's no need to flaunt your wealth and flaunt everything all the time. That's just not it's not something a good person would do. It's not something a good Christian or a good member of the Islamic community would do. It's not something,
or the Jewish community, we're coming for y'all too. Or if you're atheist, hey, why not? But yeah, no, I just feel like there's just a lot that comes into play with, I don't know, just the greed factor, which is a whole other subject, because we're totally talking about tithing while in debt.
Oh, real quick on the greed factor, though. I definitely have been to churches before. I won't name names, but I've been to churches where they make you feel very pressured to give offering, to tithe. And then if you don't, or you can't give a lot, they make you feel about as big as a bug. And that's not okay. I just wanted to quickly bring up from the Christian perspective, Mark 12, 41 through 44. It talks about the widow's offering, and that it was a story about a woman who she gave offering, and she just gave a few copper coins, as it states here, and she was judged really heavily for that, and people were snickering, sneering, and just looking down on her, and little did they know that was literally all she had. So she was tithing, she was giving offering, that to her was a big commitment. And everyone else, they didn't see it that way, but they didn't understand her circumstance. So just wanted to put out there, like, don't worry about what other people are thinking.
Oh, for sure not.
Yeah. God is the one looking at your heart and your donations. So,
like, if you pass the offering tray right on down the line when it comes around you in church, because I've been to churches where you either walk up to the offering tray or they pass it down the line. Like, I've been to both. And I remember, like, being a little kid, just like swooping it over to the side, like, I don't have money. And I mean, some people, obviously, they probably feel really bad if they do just like pass it to the next person without putting anything in there. And I feel like it shouldn't be like that. And maybe they should become one of those, like, we walk up to the altar type offerings. Like, I don't know, just if people are going to be that judgmental based on that. Because again, you never know. Someone could be $100,000 in debt, and their $10 that you want them to give this week could be all the money that they have for gas to get to work, because, you know, people gotta work, especially pay off those student loans. I don't know. So, question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to answer. Do you have student loans?
I do not.
Lucky. Is that because you worked a lot? Just kidding. I know why you don't have student loans, but we're going to say for the sake of this, I have no idea why you don't have student loans. Why do you not have student loans?
So I do not have student loans because I decided when I was trying to figure out how to go to college, because, you know, it's ridiculously expensive these days.
Hella.
Which it shouldn't be, but it is.
So expensive.
I joined the Air Force National Guard under the condition or agreement, however you want to look at it, that, you know, I offer my time to serve, and in return, they paid for my college education. Some would say it was a great idea, some would say it was not a great idea, but personally, I think it was a pretty good deal.
She hasn't had to go anywhere, so I think she's fine. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I think it's funny, like, when people are like, oh, when you're in college, if you haven't contemplated becoming a stripper or joining the military, like, did you even go? Like, we've all contemplated everything. Like, okay, like, how can I make money? I've seen, like, the sugar baby thing. What is it? This girl, she got an interview, it was on Facebook, and it was like, oh, I guess I'm a professional sugar baby or something like that. And she's just like, I have all my stuff and, like, everything. And, like, so I read the comments because, again, that's, like, my favorite thing to do is to read people's comments. I don't know why. It's just, it's comical for me. But they were like, oh, yeah, Vice, that's a really good thing for you guys to put on there. Like, let's be role models here. And people were like, man, you guys don't understand. My girl probably has no debt. She has an apartment that's all hers. And she has all of these, like, designer bags. And she kept saying that hers were always platonic relationships. She's like, that's one of the things that we talk about. She's like, you just have to know how to wean them out. I'm like, okay. So next week's podcast topic is probably going to be on how I became a sugar baby in a week, but you know. But anyways, this has been a pretty solid episode, I will say myself. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. And this, again, has been Millennial Money Management, and don't forget to tune in next time for another one of our brief podcasts.